Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm the host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned because it could be, in fact, it very well could be, the most important 30 minutes in your entire life. This show, The Flatline, is always about motivation, inspiration, and education, and we do it without any manipulation. That means there are no hidden agendas here. There's nothing for you to buy, nothing for you to join. We're not trying to sell you anything. It's simply a show about the Bible, the Word of God. My job is to give you some accurate information that will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you're able to do that, and if you want to orient and adjust to that plan, you have the freedom and the privacy to do so. The Flatline, that's the name of the show, FLOT, F-L-O-T. That is a military acronym for the Forward Line of Troops. The whole concept behind the Flatline is to deploy a fighting force, the main line of resistance, so that the enemy is not able to overrun the command post. And the concept that we use in this show is using that military strategy as an analogy to the spiritual life. And that if you will take the Word of God and learn it and deploy it as a forward line of troops, then you can, in fact, keep the outside pressure of adversity from overrunning the command post of your soul and turning to the inside pressure of stress. We all know that adversity is inevitable, but what we don't all know is that stress is optional. Yes, adversity is what circumstances do to you, but in fact, stress is what you do to yourself. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you need not live with stress in your life. Stress indicators are things like fear, worry, guilt, anger, agitation. These are all mental attitude sins that are indicative of the fact that you have gone way over the line and you have begun to react to circumstances in your life, not respond. Because any time you're faced with adversity, you can react or you can respond. Many people often react temporarily, but once they get a hold of themselves, then they begin to think clearly and respond to the tragedy or the situation that's in front of them. And many people do not. They react to whatever adversity has hit them. They go into panic palace. They go into all sorts of different types of emotional swings, such as anger, hostility, self-pity, and basically they destroy their own life and their own happiness. This is not the kind of life that God intended for you to live. Now, number one, God created you. And He created you with a purpose. You're not here just because God was bored and needed someone to talk to. That wouldn't be much of a God if He was bored and needed someone to talk to, so He created me, Rick Hughes. What am I going to say to God? I'd be too busy bowing on my face trying not to be blasted. No, God created me for a different reason, and God created you for the very same reason that He created me. And that is to resolve the angelic conflict that started millions of years ago when Satan himself protested the fact that God had condemned him to the lake of fire. And we don't have time to get into all of that today. Maybe we should, but it's not really my intention. But I will tell you this, that Satan was created as an angel, and he was a guardian angel. He guarded the throne of God, and yet at some point in history, the Bible tells us that he sinned and assumed to be as powerful as God. He wanted the authority that God had, and he assumed to take over leadership of God in heaven. And he was able to convince at least a third of the angels in heaven that he was worthy of this. And we know as a result of this, he was cast out of heaven. We know that he became the enemy of God. And we know that he was sentenced and condemned to the lake of fire forever. And we know that sentence has been appealed. And there is a new trial going on today. The new venue is no longer heaven, it's earth. And you, me, we're here, we're part of the appeal process of the angelic conflict. Satan does not want to go to the lake of fire, and so he will spend the rest of his time trying to logically get out of it and use you, use me as an example. In other words, why are you sending me, that is the devil, why are you sending me to the lake of fire when you're not sending Rick Hughes to the lake of fire? Well, the reason he's not sending me to the lake of fire is very obvious. I have trusted in Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God. I believe that he is my personal Savior. And on the cross he died for my sins, and I accepted that as payment, as the penalty for my own personal sins. That's why I'm not going to the lake of fire, and that's why Satan is. And so we want to study some of this information and go into some of this as we take a look at your life and my life and the things that affect us every day. We have been studying the very number one thing that affects us every day, which is faith. We spent several weeks talking about this. And you know, it is faith. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift from God, and not of works, lest anyone should brag about it." Faith is the very thing that saved us. It is. It's saving faith. And then we live by faith also. Saving faith and living faith. We are mandated in the Bible to live by faith. It's very clear from the Word of God. And so as we live by faith, we must understand what faith is. And so we're studying, we're taking a very good look at this so we can understand the most unique problem-solving device that we have on the protocol plan of God or the flat line of our soul. We can deploy what is called the faith rest drill. The faith rest drill is one of those 10 problem-solving devices that God has made available to us. This is what this show's about, teaching you those 10 problem-solving devices, talking about it from many different angles, but always coming back to these 10 problem-solving devices, because they are, in fact, what God has given to us. And it started with Jesus Christ when he left heaven and became a man. When he took on corporeality and he became a human, he had to live in the devil's domain, just like we do. And he did not use his deity to sustain himself while he was here. He used the same thing you and I have available to us. He used the Word of God. He used the power of the Holy Spirit. And he demonstrated what the spiritual life is all about because he pioneered it. He gave it to us. He passed it on to us. And in the Bible, he says, if we'll take his yoke upon us and learn of him, then he'll find that his burden is, it's an easy burden. It's not hard. It's light. It's not hard. It's not going to ask us to do something we cannot do. It just starts with us learning a few practical operating procedures that are found in the Word of God. This is the thing that amazes me about people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, is they never take time to learn what the Bible says. Even though the Bible clearly says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. They, in fact, don't do that. Studying to them may be reading a couple of verses of the Bible every day, but that's not exactly what the word study means. And if we're going to, another verse says, if we're going to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the only way we're going to be able to grow is to study. And so this show is to motivate you to do that, to show you what some of your options are. Because bad decisions limit future options. And if we make enough bad decisions, we don't have any options left. The worst decision that you and I could ever do is to worship a God we don't understand. Therefore, the Bible clearly says in Jeremiah 9 that God wants us not only to know him, but to understand him. And if we're going to understand the God that we worship, we have to understand why we are like we are and what God expects out of us. Now, we are very simple. We are born into the devil's world, and we're born in a sinful state. We didn't have anything to do with it. We just showed up one day, and here we are. And we're born with a body. We're born with a soul, but we're born spiritually dead. And then when we make a decision to believe in Jesus Christ, we have what the Bible calls a new birth experience, or some people call it being born again. It is simply put this, when you make a decision to believe that Jesus Christ is the anointed Son of God, and you accept his provision on the cross for you, you're born again spiritually. You're no longer dead spiritually. You were born spiritually dead, but now you're made spiritually alive. by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. And now you have an interesting battle on your hands. I never knew this. When I accepted Christ, the first few weeks that I accepted Christ, things were great. I was on an emotional high. I knew my sins had been forgiven. I knew that a lot of new things had happened in my life, but it didn't take very much longer. Maybe 3-4 weeks after I became a believer in Jesus Christ that I realized my old sin nature had not gone anywhere. It had just been put in the box for a while. But when that old sin nature takes its head out of the box and takes control of your life again, you find yourself sinning and doing some of the same things you did before you got saved. And then you may second guess yourself and say, well, if I was a Christian, I wouldn't have done that. Well, that's crazy. Sure you would. Any Christian is capable of doing things that lost people do. So don't get it in your mind that if you're Christian, you're not going to do certain things anymore. So as I learned that I had a sin nature, I realized that I had a battle going on in my soul. A tremendous battle. The Bible puts it this way. The flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. That's why you seem like two different people. That's why today you do one thing and tomorrow you do something else. You see, at one point in time, you're letting the Holy Spirit control your life. And then you move into the old sin nature control. You sin, you get carnal. Now the old sin nature is controlling your life, and the battle goes back and forth every day. It rages every day. Sometimes you feel like a nut, and sometimes you don't. Sometimes you're letting your sin nature control your life, and at other times you're not. So the first problem-solving device that we had to learn was how to recover from sin, and that was the rebound process. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to purify us from all wrongdoing. Jeremiah 3:13 said, simply acknowledge your wrongdoing. And that's what it means when you confess a sin to God. You simply acknowledge what you've done wrong. And some people get all wacky about this, and they say, well, I can't remember every sin I did. Well, who can? But here's what the Bible says. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. That's an expanded translation, but that's what it means. To cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness, all of our wrongdoing, even the ones you don't remember. But I can tell you this, don't wait till you go to bed at night to confess your sin. When you know you've committed a sin, the appropriate time to confess it is the next second. Because the longer you hang around out of fellowship with God, the longer you let the old sin nature stay in control of your life, well, then you're going to get under discipline from God, because Hebrews 12:6 says, the ones that I love, I discipline. And sometimes I have to scourge them. Well, that's not any fun. I've been there too. And so we have a sin nature. And there's a battle. And this question is simply this. Are you going to obey the mandate of Ephesians 5:18 that says, walk in the Spirit? And you want, be filled with the Spirit. The mandate is to be filled with the Spirit and be not drunk with wine. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That's Ephesians 5:18. Are you going to do that? Do you know how to do that? That was the question that I couldn't figure it out for a few years. I thought it was some weird thing that would have to happen that made me feel really spiritual and made me feel really weird or something. But it's not. It is simply when I name my sin to God, that instantaneously I'm filled with the Spirit. It's that simple. As a believer in Jesus Christ, it's black and white. I'm either in fellowship or I'm out of fellowship. I'm either under control of my old sin nature or I'm under control of God the Holy Spirit. And it's that simple for you right now, wherever you are spiritual or carnal. You have no unconfessed sin, or you have our sin that you haven't confessed in your life. One of the two. And listen, the Bible doesn't say go to confess it to some man. The Bible says name it to God. He is the one that's faithful and just. You're your own priest. The Bible says you are a believer priest. You can approach the throne of God yourself because Jesus Christ died for you and paid for your sin. And you are now a member of the royal family of God. And as a priest, you're perfectly capable of representing yourself before God. So when you sin, do that. And then you can do it the next day when you sin again. God never gets tired of forgiving you of your sin and cleansing you from your sin. I mean, if he had gotten tired of that, he would have zapped me a long time ago. Because I commit sin many times. Not intentionally. But I'm a human, just like you. We all sin. We all come short of the glory of God. The dangerous people are the people who think they don't sin. They're the people who think that they're some kind of a special person because they've had a really holy experience with God. And you get around them and they make you feel like an idiot because you think, well, I can't be as good as they are. The problem is they're not really what they make themselves out to be. If you could see their heart, you might be a little surprised. And that's the interesting thing about God. He doesn't look at the outside. He looks at the inside. He looks at what you're thinking. So if you're going to have a real relationship with God, if you're going to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it starts with you letting the Holy Spirit control your life. And then you begin to study the Bible. You begin to take the Word of God. It's called divine viewpoint, not human viewpoint. Human viewpoint is what every Tom, Dick, and Harry will tell you about the situation. But divine viewpoint is what the Bible says. So you take the Bible and you learn it and you apply it into your life. And you begin to operate on a new procedure, a new principle in your life. A principle of virtue and integrity. And this is where you begin to understand all the wonderful, magnificent things that God has prepared for you, not just in heaven, but right now, right this very minute. And by using and learning these 10 problem-solving devices, using the filling of the Holy Spirit, using the rebound technique, and coming to faith rest and standing on the promises of the Word of God, what a fabulous life it is. The faith rest drill. Problem-solving device number 3. What a great problem-solving device it is. And we've studied that. We saw in Hebrews where the writer of Hebrews talked about the situation that Moses had when the people maligned Moses and wanted to kill him because they were out of water. And the writer of Hebrews quoted a passage in Psalms that said, "Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the desert where your fathers tested me. They tried me and they saw my works. Therefore I was provoked with this generation because they have gone astray in their hearts and they did not know my ways." Now listen, you want to know God's way? The first thing you have to understand, if you're going to operate in the Christian life, it takes faith. That's what it takes. Hebrews 4:2 says this, "The word they heard did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith." So you can listen to the Bible, but you might not apply what you learn. Faith means you believe it and you apply it. How many times have you been to church and if you did manage to stay awake through the sermon, a lot of times it's not too easy, I grant you that, but you managed to stay awake and you heard some good information. And you believed it, but you didn't apply it. Went right back out and you had the same problems again because you didn't apply it. See, faith believes it and applies it. You mix what you hear with faith. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the Word of God, the Bible says. So the promises found in God's Word can only profit you if you mix them with faith. It's the only way they're any good to you. So this involves two things, you knowing what the promises say, and by the way, there are over 7,000 promises in the Word of God. Many of them, I think I had 49 pages of promises on my website. You can go to my website and download them and print them out. And you can see the 49 pages. I have a pamphlet called Promises. I'll be glad to send it to you if you'd like to have it. And it probably has 50 or 60 promises of the Word of God in it. But these promises, you have to learn them and believe them in order to cash them in and use them. Therefore, Hebrews 4:3 says, "We who have believed do enter into rest." In other words, when you can believe the Word of God and had confidence in it, it really takes the monkey off your back and you can rest. See, a lot of Christians spend their whole life seeking the elusive thing called happiness. And some people seek it in marriage, some people seek it in the details of life, but Here's the bottom line. I mean, I spent some money today with my wife. We had to buy a bed, so I know what this is about. But we stayed within the budget this time, luckily. But we spend money that we don't have many times to buy things we don't need most of the time, to impress the people that we don't even like, and that's all the time. Did you hear that? We spend money we don't have to buy things we don't need to impress people that we don't even like. Why do we do that? Well, we're seeking happiness. We're seeking status in life. We're trying to find something in our miserable lives that will give us some sort of stimulation, some sort of satisfaction, some sort of peace or blessing. And the more we search under our own power, seems like the more we reject the very thing that God provided for us, because the happiness that we're seeking is really not in the details of life. You see? Jesus said, this is a clear verse in Luke 11:27-28, happiness belongs to the people who hear my Father's word and keep it. The secret to happiness is knowing the word of God and mixing the promises of the Bible with faith. Then you can stand still, as Moses said, and watch the deliverance of God in your life. Christians do anything but stand still. They run around like a chicken with his head cut off. Yak, 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 round and round and round in circles they go. They do anything but stand still. For once in your life, the greatest procedure that you could do, the greatest way you could solve the problems you're facing, it's just to shut up, sit still, and believe God to handle it. Instead of running around talking to everybody about it and asking every person, well, what would you do about it? You're going to get a lot of human viewpoint garbage. So when you claim a promise by God, you can't enter God's rest with unbelief. You can't do it. You can't give it to God and take it back. Give it to God and take it back. Give it to God. Look, if you're going to give it to God and walk away from it. So if you need something handled in your life, if you have an adversity or situation in your life, and you go to your Heavenly Father and you pray and you say, Father, you know, I'm gonna go through some petition here. I'm going to pray and ask for something personally. I don't advise you to do this all the time. I mean, sometimes when you pray, there's adoration, there's intercession, and there's petition. So when you're praying for something personally, you know what I like to say about it? Just lay it before your Father's throne and walk away and quit going back every day. And now, Lord, you remember I told you about this. You remember I told you about this. You remember you told him once. You think he's going to forget it? Believe that he will answer it. You see, this is why a lot of times our prayers are not answered, because they're not prayed in faith. And so the promises of the Word of God are designed to give us stability and strength, and the ability to face any situation that we may come upon in the devil's world. God hasn't abandoned us. God didn't dump us out in this place to torment. Listen, this is not where our citizenship is. Our citizenship is in heaven. The Bible says we're just strangers. We're just passing through. And God didn't leave us here unequipped. You know, a lot of times people that are not even Christians can have some sort of relative fleeting happiness in their life, and it comes from somebody that they depend on or some position in life that they get. But for you and for me, for the people that believe in Jesus Christ, God has provided perfect peace and permanent happiness through the place of rest. That's where we want to go. We just want to walk over to the place of rest. It's like when you're in a athletic event and you're just about to die and the coach pulls you out for just a minute, let you catch your breath. Take a seat over there, son. Get a breath of oxygen. Take some cold water and I'll put you back in just a minute. You're in the heat of the battle. And when you walk into the place of rest, it's when you sit down and you let God handle it for you. That's what you haven't done. You haven't rested. You're still fighting it. See, every time there's a problem, every time there's a crisis, you got to make a decision. Am I going to do it his way, or I'm going to do it my way? God's given us all the resources. He's made everything easy for us. That's why Matthew 11:28 says, Come to me, all you that labor, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, and you will find rest for your soul. The very thing that you want is found in learning the Word of God. I just read it to you. Learn of me, and you will find rest for your soul. You cannot believe this. It's hard to fathom. But the secret to the Christian life is you being filled with the Holy Spirit and you having a consistent way of learning the Word of God. That's why God gave men that had the gift of pastor. That's why they've dedicated their life to studying and teaching the Word of God and making it available to you. And if you are not under a pastor who is teaching you the Word of God on a daily basis, you're making a terrible mistake. If you don't know where to find one of those guys, call me, contact me, write me. I'll tell you. It may not be locally. You may have to get tapes. You may have to get DVDs. They're available. There are qualified men in the ministry that I'm very much aware of that have been pastors for 30 years in one location. They have been teaching and teaching and teaching the Word of God. No, they don't have big congregations. No, because they don't play games with people. They're not on television. They're not selling books. They're not holding big, giant conferences and charging people 50, 60, 80 bucks to come. They just quietly and very successfully teach the Word of God from the pulpit of their own local church. And everything they say is recorded and made available free of charge to those who want to learn. You know, most people don't want to learn. And most people never get any rest because they never learn of me as Jesus mandated. Isn't it interesting? The Word of God says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. But that doesn't apply to us, does it? No, we just couple of verses a day, read a couple of verses a day, and we call that a spiritual life. I call that a joke. It's not a spiritual life at all. If you're going to operate on the principles of the Word of God, you're going to have to learn what they are, because it will cause you to be a stable believer. And when you begin to operate under the filling of the Holy Spirit, using the faith rest drill, then you become a blessing to other people, because God's peace magnetizes you. It draws people to you. People have to find out what makes you like this. What makes you different? Why can you have peace in the middle of this tremendous adversity? What is it about you? You see, a mature believer is a magnetic person. People are drawn to him. And it's not because of his personality. It's not because of how he dresses. It's because of what he demonstrates in his attitude. Humility, not arrogance, and peace and patience in his life. So if you're ever going to be that kind of person, then you're going to have to obey the mandates found in the Word of God. And that's why I challenge you with these things. That's why I bring these things to you, and that's why I harp on these things. That's why I have this radio show and have had it for now almost 3 years in the Birmingham or the Jackson, Mississippi area, even in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Now we've added St. Louis. We also have Grass Valley, California. Just me trying to get people to understand the importance of growing spiritually in their life and not just playing church, not just playing games. Listen, here's a revelation for you. Ritual without reality is meaningless. Ritual without reality is meaningless. You can go through the ritual of religion till you're blue in the face and you'll get nothing out of it. But a vibrant relationship with God through Jesus Christ is the most significant thing you could ever have in your entire life. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or on the internet at www.bigrick.org.